Sam Scholl joins me on 97.3 The Fan in studio. Sam, looks like summer treated you well.
It was definitely a fun and high octane summer. Went really, really fast, but a good summer nonetheless. And Coach, it's great to be on with you. You've been so good to me ever since I was a 22-year-old little assistant on Coach Holland's staff. So I appreciate this opportunity to be with you.
You know, I always tell people when I was doing games, whether it be on the radio or TV, guys like Sam Scholl and David Fizdale, who's now the head coach with the New York Knicks, you guys always made me look good because I was always getting quality information before the broadcast.
No, we try to do our best, and we were just excited to talk about our team. And, you know, that you think about that staff that you were, you know, you covered us, and it was myself and David Fizdale and James Borrego, who's now the head coach with the Charlotte Hornets,
right.
And then, you know, obviously what Coach Holland did. So those were some special staffs to be a part of.
What was it like taking over? And I know you took it over, a year before the final couple of games. You guys were in the CIT tournament. You went 2-1. You took it over under a very difficult situation, but you did a good job. You were eventually awarded the head coaching position. And before you ever coached your first game with the interim, not next to it, okay,
yeah,
it was the head coach the following year. What was it like when you walked out on that court the very first night?
Just a very humbling, special, something that, you know, every coach dreams about, having an opportunity to lead your own program, to have an opportunity to coach with such tremendous men that I have an opportunity to coach with on a daily basis, and then to get a chance to coach that type of team. You know, we had a really connected, high-character team that was very, very driven. So all that just kind of build the enormity of the event of having it be my first game. And then we get down 10 at halftime to Weber State. And so then it was like, all right, we're going to see what you guys are, you know, see what you're really all about. But our guys responded, and we got a nice win. And it's quite a privilege and quite a humbling opportunity to be the head coach at San Diego.
Well, you guys ended up winning 21 games last year. I know you're a game under 500 in conference play, but I don't think people, unless they've come out to USD and really paid attention how good the West Coast Conference is. Everybody talks about, you know, Gonzaga and St. Mary's, but night in and night out, if people are really paying attention, this is an excellent basketball conference, and it really has been an excellent basketball conference for many years.
For many years, and I mean, last year it was built up. At the beginning of the year, I was saying this might be the best this conference has been in 20 years, you know, that I've been a part of this conference as a player or a coach. And I think it starts with the coaching. I mean, when you look at and the level of the staffs that each of these programs have, when you start with Mark Few, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame, you know, Randy Bennett is going to have the court named after him at St. Mary's, to Herb Sendek, you know, who's been a coach of the year in the ACC, to Lorenzo Romar and all the success he had at the University of Washington, to Damon Stoudamire and who he was as a player, to Terry Porter and who he was as a player, and, you know, and now Todd Golden taking over for Kyle Smith, who was who moved on to Washington State and used to be an assistant here, and, you know, just unbelievable coaches. And so the teams reflect that, and it's a high level of basketball that's only going to get better, and I could see our national ranking moving up year by year.
We're visiting with Sam Scholl, the head basketball coach at USD, nice enough to stop by today on 97.3 The Fan. How do you compete with Gonzaga? And I say that in glowing terms. They've earned everything that,
yes,
they've gotten, okay?
Without a doubt.
And they've done it the right way, yeah, no question. But, you know, how do you compete with a program that has a charter jet and they can go here, they can go there, whether it be recruiting or just getting their team back from a road trip so they can get prepared for that next game? How do you compete with a program like that? They're a giant.
They are. I mean, you could make an argument they're one of the elite jobs, one of the top 5, 6, 7 jobs in the country now. And just like you said, they've done it the right way. And Coach Few and his coaching staff have been outstanding. And they're really the model for all of us. And there's no doubt about that. And I think you compete with them by, you just have to build a strong foundation of character, a strong culture that you just continue to bring, that attracts more talented players, and then you just continue to ingrain that and make it stronger season by season.
Okay, I want you to update the fans a little bit, because you had some guys in your program that moved on,
yeah,
who have been here for a while, and I think people that are in the basketball world here in San Diego are well aware of. Talk about some of the guys that are moving on and what they're doing right now.
Yeah, we're really excited about what this group is, what this group accomplished. They obviously set a great foundation for success for the future and really changed the perception of our program. we'll start with Isaiah Pinero. I mean, this is what an unbelievable opportunity this guy has right now. He's playing for Puerto Rico in the Basketball World Cup. He's playing about, 12 to 18 minutes a game. They just won last night their third game the second of three games to advance to the second round, which hasn't been done at Puerto Rico for 17 years. He's a part of that. He's also going to be a part of the Sacramento Kings organization. He'll be at training camp, have an opportunity to make that team. And then if he doesn't, he's already signed on for their G League team. So just amazing stuff, and what a hard worker, self-made guy that Isaiah Pinero is, and he's in the ballpark. He's in the ballpark. He's going to have an opportunity to earn his dream. Olin Carter, who was an unbelievable four-year player for us and set all kinds of records, fourth all-time leading scorer in school history, will be leaving tomorrow to go play in Spain, which is a great first place to start your professional career. And then Tyler Williams and Isaiah Wright, who both made an unbelievable impact to our program, are now kind of both looking at G League options versus international options. So our first full class that we've had together, we're going to have four professional basketball players out of that class, and that's a pretty special deal.
Well, with those guys moving on, they did a great job and obviously got you a very successful first full year with 21 wins. You had to go out and hit the recruiting trail very hard. Talk a little bit about your recruiting philosophy, because you ended up having to bring in seven new players.
Yeah, seven new guys. And we're going to go wherever we need to go throughout the world to find high character driven guys and the guys that want to just be better each and every day. And so if that means we got to go to find a guy from Belgium or like Noel Coleman, or Norway like Mikhail Jurdy, or Belarus like Yaoyan Masalski, or Canada like James John Marie and Sabri Phillip, we're going to go find those guys wherever. And we have such an attractive place. Yeah. And now with the foundation of success and the tradition that we're, at the bottom, the beginning stages of, but we're building, I think guys want to be a part of that. They want to put their stamp on our program's history. And so we're excited about continuing to find those guys. And transfers are a big, big thing for us. We've obviously had great success with transfers with Isaiah Pinero and Isaiah Wright, and we're excited for our transfer last year who had to sit out, Bron Hartfield, for him to be eligible now. He's a very talented scorer and playmaker, averaged 13 points a game as a sophomore at Youngstown State. So he's now eligible, so excited for him. And then we brought two other transfers on. So just a wherever we need to find them, we'll go.
What's your philosophy? And again, we're visiting with Sam Scholl, the head basketball coach of USD, stopping by for a few minutes today on 97.3 The Fan. Philosophy-wise, because you're losing so much, did you have to go junior college ranks, or would you rather go high school ranks? Yeah. How does it work for you?
My biggest philosophy is we want to try to stay as experienced as possible. We want our roster to stay experienced as possible. So with departures in certain years, we always want to find great high school kids. Don't get me wrong. We always want to find great high school kids that we can develop, but it needs to be a mixture. Experienced teams win in this conference, and experienced teams win in mid-major basketball. So I think it's a combination of some freshmen that you feel really good about. I really feel that international freshmen are a little maybe more mature sometimes than high school freshmen here. So that's why we've gone and done a little bit of international stuff, international recruiting. And then, we have a junior college player in James John Marie that we're very, very excited about. Gets an opportunity to step into IP's role. And then obviously the transfer market. And when you into the transfer market, you have guys that understand what Division I basketball is all about. They understand what they need to do on a day-to-day basis. And you're just giving them another opportunity to really be successful. So I think we're trying to just be as experienced as we can through recruiting and really develop guys through redshirting and things like that.
Sam, let me ask you this about postseason play. You guys were in the CIT tournament and really played well that year. You were your interim coach, and that was exciting. I look forward to those games. And then last year, you finish a game under 500 in conference, but you have 21 wins, and you guys were able to get to the NIT.
Yeah.
How big was that, and how big is that when you go in, sit down with mom and dad and the recruit?
It's huge. It's huge. First time in school history. And we've got an at-large bid. You get into the NIT by either winning your conference and not winning the conference tournament, which automatically gets you in, or you get it by the committee of the NIT choosing you. And we were one of those teams that they chose. And so it was huge, a huge building block, a huge stepping stone for our program, something that we're trying to take off from. And so when you do it, it does provide a lot of legitimacy to your program when you sit in those living rooms.
We're visiting with Sam Scholl, the head basketball coach, USD, joining us on 97.3 The Fan. Let's talk a little bit about the schedule, the upcoming schedule. We don't need to talk about the conference schedule, but your non-conference, what kind of schedule you got?
We always want it to be a challenging schedule that pushes us and first and foremost gets us ready for what's always going to be a very, very competitive schedule in the West Coast Conference. So we want to, you know, challenge ourselves with road games. We have three Pac-12 teams on our schedule. We're at Colorado. We play Stanford in the Golden State Warriors' new arena.
Wow.
In a one-day event. We're part of four games, which will be a fun thing to be a part of. And then we play at the University of Washington. And so each of those games, you know, you're playing maybe a little higher level athlete or, you know, on the wing instead of 6'3", it's 6'6", you know, and so that's good. That gets us ready for the good teams in our conference. And then we've got some high quality opponents coming to our place in UC Irvine, who went to the tournament last year and won a game. Hofstra, who's always been very good and has a very, very good coaching staff. And then, you know, our game against, you know, one of my favorite programs and a program that I respect the most in San Diego State and having them at home. So a lot of great games to get us ready for a very competitive conference schedule.
When do you guys start working out? Because they've got different – it's like recruiting. I don't know nowadays when you can recruit, when you can't recruit. I know you know all the ins and outs of that. But when can you actually get on the court with the guys and start working?
It was today. Today was day one. And from today until our first official practice, which is September 24th, they give you 8 hours a week that you can use for strength and conditioning and then workouts. And so we used – an hour today to get some defensive stuff done. We wanted to set the tone today with us being a good defensive team. And so we spent an hour of our 4 hours that we can be on the court basketball-wise doing some defense. And so it starts today, and then we get these kind of – it's not even 3 weeks anymore. I mean, it's crazy. The seasons are starting so much sooner. You know, the first game, you know, first game in college basketball is November 5th. I mean, it's like it just keeps getting sooner and sooner, so our practices have to start sooner. And so we'll have a good 2 weeks of fall stuff and then get right to it on September 24th.
Is 8 hours a week right now, is that enough, really, to work with post players, teaching them moves? You know, kids that are coming out of high school, I mean, they need a lot of fundamental work. And they're going to either, you know, go do something else or they're going to go play pickup games in a non-controlled environment. It seems like to me if they're going to do something in the afternoon, they ought to be with their coaches.
Yeah, I mean, we as coaches, obviously, we always would like to have more time with our players. I mean, that's what this whole deal is about. So, but, you know, the NCAA, I think, just wants there to be, you know, restrictions and giving them an opportunity to be kids, be students. So I think that's where the 8 hours comes in. But, you know, for us, we're always dying for more time to be able to develop our guys and help them get better.
Okay, you and I talked about this before you came on a few minutes ago, and we got to talk about it. And this is not something that, you know, has been all over, but they've changed the three-point shot this year. They've moved it back.
Yes.
How's that going to change the way the game is being played?
You know, I think it's going to make a definite change this year. Last time they moved the three-point line back, the percentage in the country, across the country, went down 2%. And it is it's a different shot now. I think you're still going to have your guys that are good catch-and-shoot, feet-set three-point shooters. I think they're still going to make those shots at the same rate. What I think is really going to change is the guys who are able to make threes off the dribble, threes in transition, three behind a ball screen. I think that's where you're really going to see your percentage move down a little bit because that becomes a tougher shot now. I think with ball screens, you're going to see a lot of more teams defending it by going under and seeing if guys can make those shots. And so I think there's where you're going to see the biggest change to with the three-point line going back.
Do you like it?
I do.
How's that going to change what you do as a coach from last year to this year?
The biggest thing for us is recognizing who can make and consistently make that three-point shot off the dribble and all those different ways I just said off the dribble. Who can make those? And then you have to kind of, okay, those guys, we want those guys taking those shots off the dribble. But then, and then the guys that can make that, okay, now can they make threes with their feet set and, you know, and I'd like to think that we have a lot of guys who can do that. And so it's separating the shots that you want guys taking off the three line. But I think it's good because what it does is it, you know, the real three-point shooters are going to be the guys that are going to take threes. And the guys that haven't reached that level, you know, if they're taking threes, they'll probably be missing them, you know. And so I think it's going to really separate in guys' games, you know, who can really shoot it and who can't.
We got about 2 minutes left, and I wanted to ask you, going back to recruiting, you talked about players from different countries, and we've seen what Randy Bennett's gotten done up there over the years, going to Australia and bringing in a lot of great talent. How difficult is it, not necessarily to identify the players, but once you've got a player that wants to come, the red tape to be able to get him to the United States, how difficult is that?
There's a lot, because their grade systems are completely different than us, and so that takes some time of getting into the NCAA and making sure you're evaluating, and our own admissions office to evaluate to make sure that, they're a USD caliber type of student. And then you get to all the visas and the I-20s and all that paperwork. It's just a lot of paperwork. But once they get there here, they're very, very appreciative of this opportunity, not only to study in the United States, but to study at a place like the University of San Diego and to be a student here and to be a Torero. And so you have they have great appreciation, for this opportunity that they get.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity that you came by and said hello to me.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll look forward to doing this again.
Thanks so much.
During the season, we got to make this a regular thing.
I would love it.